This morning, I'm continuing my series of studies given to me by the oversight of Burma Road Gospel Hall on the doctrine of the church. We'd already started with the first one, the universal church. And in that study, I introduced to you the fact that all members of the body of Christ are one. Members, that is those who have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, they are one. Today, human beings have raised up various denominational barriers, so that we have Methodists, Anglicans, Presbyterians, Lutherans, and so on. Do not be surprised that one day, when we go up to heaven, those we think should not be there are there to welcome us. And we are all one. Actually, there should be only one. Whatever the barriers on earth, one thing that is most comforting, up there, it is still one in Christ. All believers belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, and from this body of Christ known as the universal church. It is that mystical body that consists of all believers throughout the time from Pentecost until the time when the church will be raptured. All these will form the church. But just as we have this universal church, this mystical church in heaven, we also have the local church on earth. By right, the local church should reflect this universal church in heaven, so that what the church is in heaven should be mirrored in the local church on earth. Now, unfortunately, this is not so. Men with their egoistic ambitions and also intents have created and have raised barriers, so much so that you belong to this group, I belong to another group, and still another person belongs to another group. And we have all these denominational barriers raised up to separate us, so that sometimes we hardly know one another, not to say to have fellowship with one another. Now, this ought not, of course, to be so. And that's what we were discussing the last session I was with you in April. We discuss the place name of the church. By right, there should be only one name that portrays the unity of the church. Oneness. But no, today we have got so many names belonging, referring to so many local churches. So much so that a person not knowing the background of Christianity gets very confused. By right, the name of the church should reflect the oneness. But of course, this is not so. And that's why we in this assembly, we try to regard this oneness as vital. And of course, we cannot say that we are the church of Penang. The moment we say that we are the church of Penang, we set up ourselves as the church. And all others do not belong to this universal church. And that's why today we call ourselves Burma Road Gospel Hall. We choose a neutral name in order that we may reflect the unity, the neutrality of the oneness of the all members of the church. That's the name. Just to allow others in this gathering here who may not be familiar with why we are not called this and why we are not called that, this is why we do name ourselves as we do. Then we have the people in the church. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verses 1 and 2 tell us that those of us in the, or those who were in the church at Corinth, they were known as the saints, called saints. To all those called saints, or as in the King James Version, called to be saints. both are correct. We are called saints. That's the original scripture. We are called saints. Every one of you is a saint. But every one of you is not a saint in the sense of your conduct, your conversation, your behavior, and so on. You are not a saint. You are far from being a saint. And I'm far from being a saint. But that is the whole purpose of our life on earth. That we, having been called saints, we should now be saints. Called to be saints. So that we try to live up our conduct to that of our status in heaven, that we really live like saints. Then in Philippians chapter 1 verse 1, we read of only two types of so-called official personnel in the church. And they are the bishops and the deacons. That is in the King James Version. The word bishop is not an official title. It is just a word to describe the supervisory duty and responsibility of the ones in charge. Bishops, deacons are functional names. They are especially other names used of the same group of people: bishops, elders, shepherds or pastors. All of them are functional names. What do I mean by functional names? They are names used to describe the people who function as such. They are not titular titles or names given to people. Therefore, we often hear this question being asked: do elders retire? Do elders retire? If they are called of God, they should not retire. As far as I am concerned, and as far as I understand the scriptures, this is not so. Because the title, I should not call it the title, the name is functional. It's not a title. The moment you do not function, you should not be recognized as such. That is my understanding of scripture. For example, you are an elder. Elder, not in the sense that you are an elder as a title. Although there are some people in our assemblies, in places where I have been, they will announce me as, now Elder Ang is going to speak. I object to this kind of introduction. I'm not Elder Ang as a title. But I'm elderly, yes. But not Elder Ang. Alright? So, elder is just to point to the maturity and the seniority of the person. Nothing more. One qualification is that he must not be a novice. Then another name is also used, a bishop. A bishop is a supervisor, a superintendent. He supervises, he leads, and he is referred to in the scripture as the one who rules over you. The one who rules over you. He is the leader. And that's all. The third one is the pastor, the shepherd. Not the pastor of a church, but one of the pastors, shepherd. Not a title, again, but a functioning descriptive word which tells us of the work he does. He shepherds the flock. He shepherds the flock. And therefore, if anyone is not able to function in these three capacities, then he should not be recognized as such. That's why in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 12, we are told, know them, recognize them that have the rule over you. Those that are in the work, those that are in the task, they are to be recognized. But if they cannot function, then there is no recognition of such. So, whether an elder retires or not depends on whether the elder can function or not function. And that's why, in a way, I have to step down from the oversight because I am not able to function as an elder. Well, as an elder, I think I can still function. I'm still elderly and getting more elderly each day. But as a pastor, as a sheep, as a shepherd, I cannot function. I do not present myself in the meetings. I am not over here every time. So I cannot function as a shepherd. I cannot function as a bishop or as a superintendent, because I am not here to see to the administrative duties and so on. And therefore, I step down. And when these questions arise today, should elders retire? It should not arise if we have an understanding of Scripture. Then we went on to study that the church, the local church, was self-supporting. That it must be self-supporting, independent. We dealt with the personal resources. Who were the people available for duty, for responsibility in the local church? And we had just enough time to refer to this in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and then, well, as usual, I have no time. So we have to stop. Well, today, we are going to continue from there. But if you want to listen to what I said, you want to refer to the PowerPoints that I used, and you want to refer to the notes, well, you are at liberty to visit my website. All are found there. You can always listen to what I say. Now, for those of you who would like to do it, but not sure how to do it, my advice to you is, first, you download the PowerPoint. After having downloaded the PowerPoint, download the audio file. And then you play the PowerPoint file. And as you play the slides, you listen to the audio. The audio is not synchronized with the PowerPoint. So as you listen, and it gives you good training to listen, as you listen, you know when to change the slide as I go on. So that's one way. Alright, we must carry on from there, otherwise I would have to say we have no time again. Today we shall deal with the recognition of church members, which we dealt with a little that last time. Then we shall deal with the utilization of the church members, and finally the cooperation of the church members. Alright, so these are the three main topics that we shall be dealing with in the first part of our study today. Right, it is self-supporting. The local church is independent. It must be self-supporting. If the members of the local church are not functioning, then the local church is not self-supporting. If it has to depend only on one person, the leader, to do everything, it is not a self-supporting church, and it is not biblical. And that's why we do not have the pastor who controls everything and he does everything. But we have elders, we have deacons, and we have members, and all are to work together in one. Right, firstly, let us consider the recognition of church members. Every member is valuable and gifted. Now, this is a Bible study. So let us turn to our Bible and not just look at the PowerPoint. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 7, we read this very important statement that every member is valuable and especially gifted. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 7, we read, "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man." Now, King James Version translated wrongly. It says there, "is given to every man to profit." No. It should read, "it is given to every man for the common good." Alright? More about that later on. So, every member in this assembly here is gifted, has a gift. If you say you don't have a gift, you are denying what the Holy Spirit has given to you. It says here specifically that the Holy Spirit has given each one of you a gift. At least one. And to deny that you have no gift is to deny the Holy Spirit's ministry in your life. No member is dispensable. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 verses 14 to 16. "The body is not one member, but many." Please note, not one member, but many. "If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole ear were hearing, where were the smelling?" And so on. And so comes the challenge. The eye cannot say to the ear, I'm no use. Or the ear says to the ear, I'm no use. No one can say to anybody who is here in this assembly, I'm no use. No, I cannot do anything. Let the others who can do, let them do it. I cannot do anything. Again, you are denying the statement of the clear teaching of the Word of God. Everybody can do something. If you say that you cannot do, then what is happens? All the others are eyes, all the others are noses. Mine, what a nosy church it would be. So we must be careful. Everyone has a gift, and everyone is indispensable. Alright? No member is indispensable. No member is dispensable. In other words, you cannot say, I'm no use. Forget of me. No member is indispensable. In other words, no person can say to the other person, you are useless, you are no good. Chapter 12, verse 20. But now are there many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the foot, I have no need of thee. Nay, much more those men. We stop here. And so we find that no one not only can say to himself or herself, he or she is dispensable, but no one can say to this person that he is of no use. I cannot say to myself, I'm of no use. You cannot say to me, you are no use. Everyone is useful. I want to get this message clear. Very, very clear. Because if you do not understand this, then you do not understand what it is to be a member of the local church. The Holy Spirit has given to every one of you a gift. And that gift is function, is to function. Right. So, admittedly, there will be some who are weak, who are feeble. Then, in that case, care must be given to the feeble. Verse 22, nay, much more than those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. Now, why does God allow some members to be feeble, some members to be weak, and some members to be sick, and to be sick for a long time? Why? If God has given everyone a gift, why can't He give everyone equal gifts, so that everyone is healthy, everyone is functioning, everyone is good? Because this is to see and to test our care for the feeble. If there are no feeble, we will not be able to exercise more love and more care for the feeble. So the feeble is there. If the feeble is not there, then there is no exercise of honoring the weak and helping and caring for the feeble. And so let us also understand those who are feeble. Everybody must care for me. Everybody must love me. All attention must be focused on me. No, you cannot say that. God has given you a gift. In your feebleness, you can do something. You know, sometimes I wonder. When there's a prayer meeting, we receive a note. Please pray for me. I'm not well. And something is stated there. Good. This is what we should do. Pray. How come you're not there to pray for other people also? How? How come that when the person needs to be prayed for, the person requests people to pray for the person? But when other people need prayer, how come you are not there to pray? Now this is a challenging question. It doesn't work one way. It works two ways. You pray for others, others pray for you. You cannot say you are useless. Others cannot say to you, you are useless too. And therefore, this statement must be clearly understood, that we need to care for one another. And so, stretch out that hand to care for the feeble. Members in the local church are likened to members in our hands, in our body, and so on. If my thumb can say to the other fingers, I'm no use, the other four fingers, you try to do something about it, you try to pick up something, you cannot. It will be just like chopsticks, trying to pick up things. But you cannot use the two fingers as chopsticks. They are useless. And so, we need everybody to cooperate together. More about that now. Every member is valuable and gifted. Everyone is variously gifted. The thumb has its own function. The forefinger has its own function. The middle finger has its own function. The ring finger has its own function. At least it knows how to wear a ring. The little finger also has a function. Every finger has a function. Likewise, all parts of the body. Alright. So everyone is variously gifted. And I like to draw your attention to the gifts that are given. Now, number one, let us understand this. That gifts are given by God. Now, today, there is an emphasis on gifts being given by the Holy Spirit. As if denying that the Father does not give gifts. As if denying that the Son does not give gifts. Let us look at chapter 12. We see here in verse 4. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. The Spirit gives gifts. Verse 5. And there are diversities and differences of administrations, but the same Lord. The Lord also gives gifts. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit gives gifts. And look at what God gives. Verse 11. All these worketh at one and the very same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. Verse 28. And God had set some in the church, and so on, and so on, and so on. And so, God gives gifts. And God sets. The implication is this. If He gives you this gift to be a speaker, then you are equipped to be a speaker. He gives you this gift to be a help. Please note verse 28. To be helped. Then continue to be helped. Those who are given the gift of help, you are given a tremendous gift because you are helpful, a very helpful person. Anyone and everyone can make use of you. Do not aspire to be a speaker if you are not. And if you are a speaker, don't aspire to be a help. Because when you are a speaker, then you have to function as a speaker. To teach the word of God or to preach the word. Each one has his own different gift. God is sovereign. God gives, and we work out and function. Gifts are for the service of the good of all. No gift is given for our own profit, as the mistranslation goes in King James Version, chapter 12, verse 7. It is for the common good. Gifts are exercised for the common good. No gift is for any self-edification. I'd like to note that. No gift is for self-edification. Gift is exercised so that it is for the common good. Gifts do not suggest spirituality or godliness. Chapter 1, verse 7. The church in Corinth has people who are very, very gifted. So much so that Paul says, you come behind in no gift. You are very gifted. And yet in chapter 3 and verse 3, Paul says, I want to feed you with meat, but I cannot. You are like babies. You are still feeding on milk. And so, we find that gifts do not indicate spirituality or godliness. Some men, however, have visibly gifted. Now, these are special gifts. special gifts given by the Lord Jesus Christ when he rose again from the dead. So that we read in Ephesians 4:11, Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers. Now, when Christ rose again from the dead, he gave gifts to all men. And these were special gifts to the church in general, your universal church. No local church has apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors or teachers in any one particular church. No. These gifts are given to the universal church, the church in general. So that where there is a lack in any local church, the Lord will send his gifted people to the local churches to help them function. Now, let's look at the first two gifts first, apostles and prophets. They are the foundation gifts. Ephesians 2:20 says that the church, the habitation of God, is built up on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. The apostles and prophets were used by the Lord in the early church, in the early church days, to go from place to place to establish the word of God. And once the word of God was established, there was no more necessity for apostles and prophets. So that today, we do not regard apostles and prophets as a necessity anymore. Why? Because we have the word of God. This is the result of what the apostles and prophets did for us. Next comes the third gift, evangelists. Today, we still need evangelists. Evangelists are important. Evangelists are people who go out to preach the gospel and bring the people in. And not every local church has evangelists. In fact, today, I bemoan the fact that in the church of Malaysia, we have very few evangelists left. Can you name any evangelists, noted evangelists, that can be used in the church of Malaysia today? Those days, we have people like Dr. G.D. James, Mr. W. Wilson Wong, Kortin Tew. These were famous evangelists who would go from church to church, assembly to assembly, to preach, and we could see many souls coming to the Lord Jesus Christ and increasing the number. But today, we have very few evangelists. Why? We must pray the Lord of the harvest that he will send up more laborers into the field. Then we have got pastors and teachers. Now, according to the original word, actually it's pastors, teachers. One word. Not pastors and teachers. Not two groups of people, but actually teaching pastors. Teaching pastors. Teaching elders, so to speak. And they are the people who build up and edify the members who are brought in by the evangelist. So today, for the universal church and for the local church, we need two very essential gifts: teaching pastors and evangelists. Evangelists go out and bring the people in. Teaching pastors go out and teach the people so that they are built up in the most holy faith. These two are essentially needed today for the local churches all over to build up and to function well. Now, the utilization of church members. How can we use the gifts of these members of the local church? We already agree that every member has a gift. But how do we make use of these gifts? Firstly, these gifts or these members must demonstrate active participation. Basically, and we start with the most basic. Basically, every member of the local church, before you can even be active, fulfill Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25. And that is, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. So when there is a gathering together, let us come together. so that in the various areas, in the various fields, we can exercise the special gifts given to us. Now, we must also realize that in exercising our gifts, we must start from the very basic, from the very beginning. We cannot aspire to be exercising a gift that is of a higher level when we have not started on a lower level of exercising those gifts. So we have to be prepared to be humble, to learn from the beginning and start. And therefore, if we cannot start exercising our gifts in the gathering of a big church as it is, where there are gatherings of small groups, let us be there. And from the exercise of our gifts in these small groups, we start to grow. We start to build up our own confidence, our own abilities, and as the Lord leads, into the various doors that are open for us to function. Let us start. But don't say that, no, there are no doors open to me. I just cannot serve because I don't believe in it. I grew up in this assembly where doors were closed to me. Let me explain. As a young person, I wanted to start a Bible class, but this Bible class was frowned upon even by the oversight. Can you imagine that? It was frowned upon by the oversight. And when I started work to build up a new work in Butterworth, I was not supported by the assembly. But the Lord opened the door and I went in. And soon the oversight saw the good work that the others and myself were doing. They came in to support and to give us the blessing. We must show that we can be used of the Lord. So it is up to our relationship with the Lord, our using the spiritual initiative that He's given to us to serve. So let us demonstrate our participation first by being present in the meetings. Then start with, as we read in chapter 12, verse 27, you are the body of Christ and members in particular, and God has set some in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, and then miracles, then gifts of healing, helps. Be a help. In any way you can, no matter how humble, start with that. And soon, people will know that you are a great help and you develop your gift. Discover your place, 1 Corinthians 12, 28. By being a help to everyone who needs your help, then you will be able to find, as you grow around, where you are strong at. So you start by generally being a help to everyone, and as you move among the others, soon you are able to find out which aspect of your life can best be used for the Lord. Then that is the way, that's the time for you to stir up that gift that is in you and develop it. So develop your potential. 1 Timothy 4:14 states that neglect not the gift. 2 Timothy 1:6 stir up the gift. Now, let me say this. Neglect not the gift. Every one of us has been given a gift. We don't neglect it. The moment you neglect it, you lose it. Now, let me share with you my experience. Some of you know that I had a fall and I broke my wrist. And for 2 months, I was sent for physiotherapy sessions. I had to exercise, because if I did not go, then I would not be exercising my wrist. Then it will come a time when, because I did not exercise, soon I would not be I would not find my wrist able to function. And likewise, if you have been given a gift and you are not using that gift, soon that gift will not be used by the Lord. Let me be very frank with you. When I was young, I thought I had quite a good gift in singing. I thought I could sing. Yes, I had a good bass voice. And I was in the choir. I was even in the choir that sang in Radio Malaysia. So how many of you had sung over Radio Malaysia? I did. You see? But the point is this. I told my wife a few times that today I cannot even sing. Because having been to so many meetings, always speak, and you don't sing. Until today, I find it difficult to sing. And I dare not join the choir. If I join the choir, I will spoil the choir. So I cannot. So, if you neglect your gift, it will become useless. So don't neglect that gift. Use it. Whatever it may be. No matter how feeble you are. I often told my wife, you know, there is no person here who can say he's of no use. Even if he is sick or she is sick and infirm, lying on the sick bed, she can still take up a phone. Now mobile phones are ever present. Take up a phone, give a word of encouragement to some people. Some person's birthday, happy birthday, you know, you have been such encouragement to me. A person is sick, take up the phone and say, oh, how you are. And so on. You can do so many things when lying down. Of course, you have heard of Fanny Crosby, who did so many things through the writing of hymns. And today we use so many of her hymns and choruses. Everyone can be useful where you are. Invalid or not, is not valid. Because you are always useful. Right. The next thing we need to know is the cooperation of the church members. We need cooperation. Because when everyone, every member functions, and each one functions according to his or her own way, then we will be going different directions. We need to come together, bring together all our abilities, all our strong points, and work towards a common goal. We need cooperation. Firstly, acknowledge the divine headship of the Godhead. That God has, God the Father has given you a gift. God the Son has given a gift. God the Spirit has given a gift. And let us realize and remember there is such a thing as order in the Church of God. In the local church, that all things be done and decently and in order. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And in chapter 11 verse 3, we read that the head of every man is Christ, the head of the woman is man, the head of Christ is God. There is the order of headship. And we must acknowledge this headship. We must not say, I have a gift, you have a gift, everyone has a gift, I have equal say. No. We must acknowledge headship. We must acknowledge order. And we need to fall behind in that order of things that are to be done. Accept the appointed leadership of the elders. Now in the local church, the elders are the appointed heads. They are by the Holy Spirit. Elders are appointed by the Holy Spirit, and as I pointed out the last lesson, elders are acknowledged, are recognized in the task and not appointed to the task. In other words, an elder must be a person who has heard the calling of God to be such. An elder is appointed or recognized in the task. Appointment is by the Holy Spirit. Then, as he performs the duties of the task of the elder, then he's recognized by the members, and the members will then acknowledge him as the elder. But he is not, when he has never done anything at all, suddenly, because he is of high character, he is very rich, he is, very influential, appoint him to the eldership. This is not the way. The way is to recognize those who have the heart for eldership. For example, I'd like to make things practical. Our brother Mr. Lee Kim Siong, he was an elder in Kledang Community Chapel. But when he came to Penang, he is not supposed to be an elder automatically. Just because he was an elder in Kledang does not mean that he must be an elder over at Bumble Road, Penang. He cannot. Because he is to be recognized in the task. He has to prove himself that he is with the people, and his heart is with the people, and with that, the people recognize him. And that's what happened here. This is what it should be, biblically. So, accept appointed leadership. Do you realize that in Hebrews 13 verse 17, that we are to obey them that have the rule over you? Now, they are equal. They are equal to with us as human beings. They are equal in that they have gifts, we also have gifts. But then, God has appointed them to have the rule over us. And therefore, we obey. And you look at me. I am, I think, older than the leaders here. Many of the leaders here, except, of course, Dato' Chan. He is my senior. But, although the elders are all younger than myself, I still obey. I still obey. And what they say, I still acknowledge their advice and their headship. This is only biblical, and we must understand the God's appointed order of headship. Ascend to the functional membership of all others. Just as we acknowledge the headship of all others, we must also acknowledge the membership of everyone else. That everyone has a gift, then we need to cooperate with them. We need to function with them. We need to work together with them. This is important. And that's what we see in chapter 12 and verse 15. For if the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And verse 21, and the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee. No one can say, I am useless. No one can say to another person, you are useless. Everyone is useful. We must abase ourselves in humble stewardship, in affection for one another. We must learn to care for one another, and we must learn to love one another. And in carrying out all our duties, let love prevail, as we read in chapter 13, verses 4 to 7. Let love be the guideline in all that we do and say. Alright, very quickly, financial resources. Money, money, money. You know, I have a great testimony for this assembly here. I have been with this assembly for over 50 years. I was baptized in 1950. That means 62 years already as a Christian and as a member of Bermuda Gospel Hall. I have been through the years when Mr. Ong Hak Chuan was a treasurer, when Mr. Tan Wah Kim was the treasurer after him, when Mr. Tan Tiong Leng was the treasurer, and now Brother Leong Chung Wei, alright, is the treasurer. Now, in all these years, I've never encountered a single case of breach of trust. All these people have worked and taken care of the money so faithfully that not one cent is taken out from the treasury for their use, but more importantly, many cases I know money is taken out from their own pockets to put into the treasury because they work as unto the Lord. We find today so many churches, members even bringing their leaders to court because of the misuse and abuse of money. This is the pride that we can have. For those of us who want to be faithful to the Lord, and we want to be truthful to the Lord. Why do we need money? For the supply of self-sufficient, or the... why do we need funds? One, to maintain the local assembly. You all come here, aircon and so on. My time was very nice. No aircon. Hot corn, eh? A fan only. Well, when I went to Butterworth, no fan also. All sweating. So, today, for the comfort that you enjoy, you need maintenance. And therefore, every member must contribute. Unless you have other alternative arrangements. It is said that a member just passes the bag die. Now, please don't misunderstand me. I know there are people who pass the bags by one Sunday, another Sunday, but that's because they put in once a month for the whole month of service for the Lord. Good. But whatever it is, what I mean is, every member of the assembly must contribute. You must give something. Otherwise, we will not have this comfort in coming together. To modify those living in poverty, 2 Corinthians 8:2. Now, there are people who are poor in this assembly. Not only our time, but also in Paul's time. And Paul said, indeed, we must make provision for the poor. Provide for them. Because if you not provide for them, you are worse than an infidel when you do not provide for your own members of the family. So we need the money to provide for the widows and for the widowers and for the poor. To minister to the Lord's employees. And perhaps here I'd like you to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7 to verse 14. Chapter 9 says, we need to provide means to minister to the Lord's employees. And who are they? One, they are the warriors. It says there in verse 7, who goeth to war at any time at his own expense. No. They depend upon the Lord. Missionaries, evangelists, preachers. These are the people who go out into the universal church, not the local church. But it's the local church that must help and that must contribute towards their welfare, even as they go out into the various fields to preach the word. They go out to the front line to do the battle. You need to give the support. You may give the support to the assembly to use that money for missions. And that's why a local church must have a channel for missions. On the other hand, it will be so nice too if every member here also contributes towards missions, so that you not only just when the mat on the first Sunday of the month comes to you for mission fund, you just put in the money and you don't bother anymore. But when you do so personally and individually, you say, ah, I'm going to pray for this person whom I give to. It is a personal relationship supporting the missionary who goes out. How many of us here have this kind of ministry? Have you ever given to any missionary? To any missionary, whether from commended from the assembly here or from elsewhere, who come, for example, today, tonight, at the mission night, we are having Mr. Charles Lingam. He comes. He comes all the way from Johor to over to this place. He needs the expenses to come over here to give a report of the work among the Indians. Are you interested to come to listen to him? Are you interested to come not only to listen but to come prepared to put something into the box for the work among the Indians? Well, this is a challenge to all of us. Remember the warriors. Remember the planters. Verse 7. Why planteth a vineyard and eateth not of its fruit? So, a person who goes out to serve as a planter, they are the ministers, church planters. They are the ones who establish churches. They are the ones who become elders later on in the local churches. They need help, they need support. Because in many of these places that they have built up new churches, the people who are there are not able to support them. We heard last 1-2 weeks ago of the ministry of new tribes. How they go out to the inland places and they start a new church, and then how can the natives there support them? They need our support. Shepherds, verse 7, all who feedeth a flock and eateth not of the milk of the flock. The elders and the teachers, they need your support. Now, some people think that elders need not have any gifts from the assembly. Elders must give all the gifts to the local church, but they need not have any support. That's not true. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8 to 10, we are told that we need to give a double honor unto those elders who teach. Those who teach the word and those who pastor. We need to give them, number one, the first honor, respect. Second honor, support. support perhaps even in financial means. Now, elders and missionaries have the same attribute in one area. Both of them are called. Both of them are stewards of God. Both of them are to give an account of the stewardship. That's why they are special. And that's why they are supported. Especially teaching elders. Because today, let me tell you very frankly, it is not cheap to buy Christian books. Christian books, especially good expository Bible commentaries, are very expensive. And sometimes an elder, for example, in other places, maybe just a farmer, maybe just a shepherd, and he doesn't have any professional support. We need to take care of his needs. Alright? So, these are the things we need to consider. We need money to meet fellowship appeals with liberality. Now and again, we have appeals from other sources that need funds to help in their work. Then we should be there to give help, to be liberal in our giving. So, the source and supply of funds, where do we get our money from? Members should commit to give as Christ givers, 2 Corinthians 8:9. And the Lord Jesus Christ, He was rich, but He became poor, that we, in our poverty, in His poverty, by the rich. So, He gives, in order that we may also give. Members are commanded to give in grace. We have been saved by grace, and giving is a gesture in grace. So let us give, not to say that we are able to afford to give only, but let us give out of our liberality, or as in the case of the Corinthians, out of their poverty even. They give liberally to the poor in Macedonia. Members should calculate to give gracefully. How much should they give? 2 Corinthians 8:11-9:7, according to what you purpose. According to what you purpose. Every Sunday, let him lay aside, install purpose, according to purpose. According to as how the Lord prospers. The more the Lord blesses you, the more you should give. The less, well, is according to what He, how you relate to Him. The more you give, the more He blesses you, the more you should give. 1 Corinthians 16:2. The Lord is not forcing anyone to give, but your willingness to give, it depends on your love for the Lord. According to proportion. It's not that He demands a definite sum, but according to proportion, it may be one-tenth of what you have. But in Christian giving today, it is more than one-tenth. So, according to what the way he prospers you. Now, from very young, I'm going to suggest to you this. Because from very young in my Christian life, I learned what it was to give. How to save 5 cents from buying an ice ball. Those of you who are old enough, from saying ice ball, forsaking the ice ball, that 5 cents I would put into the fund, the mission fund for the Lord's work. And up to today, I have, from those years up to today, I still have what I call the Lord's fund, where money received from the Lord is put into the fund, and I don't touch it, except only for the Lord's work. The Lord's work. And therefore, at no time can anyone come to see me and say, "Look, Mr. Ang, please help me out in this area," and so on. I said, "Sorry, I have no more money." No, because I always have the Lord's fund, and the Lord's fund is always available to help out in the Lord's work. Have a Lord's fund if you have not. Members are counted upon to give graciously, not grudgingly. 2 Corinthians 8:7-9:6-7. It says there, in fact, that members must give cheerfully. The word cheerfully would rather mean give until you just laugh and laugh and laugh and laugh and laugh and laugh and laugh. The pain is gone. Give. The question now comes, do Christians tithe? If you are interested, I have written an article in the last issue of the Diaconia. First article, you read it. Do Christians tithe? My answer, of course, is no. Why? Read the article for yourself. So, as I said, there's no more time. So we shall leave this. It is self-propagating to the next session. This is why I enjoy a series, where if I cannot finish in one lesson, I carry on to the next one. So, I shall leave this self-propagating part to the next session when we shall meet together. So, what have we discussed? Responsibilities of being a full-fledged independent assembly. Towards God, towards self, towards subversives, towards others, and so on. Alright. And may the blessing of the Lord be upon you as we conclude now and save our part that has not been finished to part 4, the problems of the local church in Corinth, part 1. Thank you, and the Lord bless. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the teaching of the local church. We do pray, O Lord, that as members of the local church, and we as gifted members in particular, we may learn each one of us to function and be useful in the testimony of this local church. Therefore, we commit ourselves to Thee, especially those of us in the Burma Road Gospel Hall. Even as we prepare ourselves to go back to Burma Road, Lord, we do pray that we, each one of us, even here, in our temporary stay here, we may already exercise the gifts that Thou hast given to us, the functions that we are to perform, that we may be useful and we may be at the very peak of our responsibilities when we go to Burma Road. And we do pray, Lord, that the testimony may be great as we establish back that testimony in that place. We do pray, O Lord, for Thy blessing upon the building, the application for the building plans to be passed, for the occupation certificate to be handed in. Lord, we do pray that Thou would smooth the process of it all. Remember those who are responsible, our brother Kenneth and others in the oversight who are and the building committee who are responsible for this ministry. Lord, bless us, we do pray. Even as we part, we give Thee thanks in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.